listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet, and your final reminder that it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Oh. Oh, it is Adam and Steve. Well, okay then. I am your host, and I am the loose cannon who is bad with children, but I've got a heart of gold, so you'll forgive my questionable babysitting techniques. Oh, and did I forget to mention I'm a werewolf? I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is so set on making sure everything goes perfectly that he keeps checking in with HQ, but we don't have time for that. So he just resets us back to one and we try it again. He is Steve the Geek Shitty.
We have been doing these intros for 15 years. We finally come up with a situation where there are two characters, one of which is tall and has a perpetual stick up his butt, and the other one is short, covered in hair, and literally named Steve. And you made yourself that one?
That did not occur to me. The Adam and Steve thing stuck out to me so blatantly that I had to go for that, and I apologize.
No, that's fine. I like that part. I liked your intros, but you're Adam, I'm Steve.
Fair point. That is, you're very correct. That is, I apologize for missing that low-hanging fruit. It is now just like resting on my face, and I'll have to deal with the rest of the episode, so my bad.
I should have made Steve Steve. What was I thinking?
That actually did occur to me. It was later on. I didn't consider the shortness and the hairiness, but I did like say, at some point I said like Steve out loud. I'm like, wait, that's the name of my co-host. I should work with that. Oh, well. The Adam and Steve thing is funnier. Let's go with that.
Yeah. I like that intro.
It's fine. Yeah, there's a lot of jokes to be made about this, but that's only in context of us. That's not in context of the comic, which is called Time and Time Again. It is brought to us by DOI. And Time and Time Again is the story of two star-crossed lovers who just can't quit each other, and they're also jumping through time hoops to what end, we don't know exactly. I mean, the one guy, Adam, is working for an agency, and he is charged with, I think, keeping the timelines in balance and basically keeping the multiverse or whatever it is, keeping the timeline intact. So he's
rounding up all them Lokis.
There you go. Yeah, if you've seen Loki, that's very similar to what it is. I mean, it's a trope, but it's one I enjoy. Time travel is always fun. It just depends on, I like seeing, you know, like how it's done, what the rules are. Like, for instance, in this one, when you time travel, you also space travel, which has always been a sticking point for me of like, you know, you time travel, but you're still in the same place. So you need to make sure you go to that place before you time travel. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck. And Back to the Future kind of plays with that. But also, you know, I said this to somebody the other day, and I can't remember what the context was. But when Doc says, you know, or you can go back and witness the birth of Christ, and he puts in December 25th, 0000. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, but you still got to find a way to get over to the Middle East because he wasn't born in California, I don't think. Unless we're all wrong about this. So, yeah, it's confusing. But don't think about it, because in this case, when time travel happens, again, they jump places as well. They end up in the middle of the ocean outside New England when they were in Colorado, I think, before. So, don't think about that part, and you'll be fine. So we get time travel. We get fantasy. One of the characters, Adam, is the time cop, is also a vampire, though we don't get a whole lot of vampire from it. I know he says he needs sunlight to heal, and that's...
He needs blood to heal from his time in the sunlight.
There you go. And that's kind of all we do with that power for now. And Steve, the guy he's chasing through time and also in love with, and it's complicated, is a werewolf. And when it's a full moon, he time travels. Is that what?
Yeah, every full moon, he randomly time jumps somewhere by a literal hole opening up underneath him, and he falls through it. And then he's somewhere else for some wacky chicanery.
Yes. And that is kind of the name of the game in this comic. It is jumping from time to time. Adam can't tell Steve something about their past or, well, future, whatever. Time travel makes it confusing. But they are destined. And then die. Yeah, they're destined somehow to, one of them kills the other, or something terrible has happened that Adam doesn't want to tell Steve about. So, and Steve doesn't know it yet because they haven't come across that, or it hasn't happened yet. But Adam has seen it because he's a time cop. It's confusing like those things are, but it's also, it will come in due time, I believe. But
will it come time after time?
It better, because I love that song. Seen that song daily on the reg. So we jump from the first place we go is to, I guess the pirates are the first one. So pirates in what, the 1700s, I think. I think it sets a time.
Doesn't really matter. Probably be like the 1600s or the 15, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pirates. This pirate crew is only like three dudes, maybe four.
Yeah. Big old ships. Three pirates.
Yeah. Yeah, usually see in like movies and everything, you know, it's 50, 60 men, maybe more. They have to run this entire ship because there's a lot to do on a ship. But no, this one runs a nice tight ship with just four guys. So luckily Adam and Steve come along and they, you know, help them / don't help them and lie their way to treasure. But there's no treasure. And it kind of reads like rom-com smashed with fantasy. I was gonna say there's a little grittiness to it, but there's not really, other than what is coming for Adam and Steve down the line at some point. It's trying to get these two characters to get together because they are lovers, and they kind of realize it, but they don't. Well, Adam definitely does. He knows what's going to happen, but Steve, you know, yeah, Steve is just Steve. Well, you know, Steve, you can tell me about Steve. So why don't you tell me your thoughts on Time and Time Again?
Oh, more like Trope and Trope Again. No, so this comic, it's tropey. It's very tropey. But I once I made peace with that, it was fine. There is a, like, it starts out very time cop, then it goes to underworld, and then it goes to Pirates of the Caribbean, and then there's like some time traveler's wife mixed in, and like everything feels like it's directly from something else, even like down to the scene level where like I'm sneaking up on you in this urban environment, but I need to draw your attention, so I'm going to step on a stick, although there's no sticks anywhere else in the world. And like, it's just like it almost feels like it was written by AI. But I don't mean that to like dunk on it, because lots of things feel like they're written by AI. This comic is a Hallmark movie, a Hallmark Christmas movie, or a B level monster movie, or something like that. Some like one of those genres of entertainment that is so tropified, so dumb, that if you're not a fan, you probably hate. But if you are a fan, it's a matter of comfort. It's like comfort food or comfort entertainment. And you enjoy the tropes and you go along for the ride. I used to think people who watched Hallmark movies were dumb until I realized I watched, you know, monster movies the same way. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. This must be what empathy is like. I'm a real boy. And so there are people for whom fantasy romance is their comfort jam, and this is that. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter that they've seen everything before, they like seeing it, and so this is for them. The characters in and of themselves, while tropey, are well executed. The time jump mechanic, for lack of a better word, keeps things fresh as you keep going. They seem to want to live in a world where every fantasy thing can happen, so there's a little supernatural as well, and you know, that's part of this jam. So if this is your jam, it's your jam.
Yep. And the way you're talking about it, I assume that it was not necessarily your jam.
Not my first choice, but not my last. I'd read this over a Hallmark Christmas movie, but those are really hard to read.
Well, and even watch, having had to watch several of those in the last year or two, whatever. They're literally the exact same thing every single time. They just interchange some, maybe location, but even the location looks the same, and the cast, and then you've got a brand new movie, and people, well, women will sit down and watch it, and then we'll choke through it. But this is not necessarily that, but it is a story that is beholden to these two characters, to Steve and Adam, and we're about their love. And everything else is pretty much as throwaway as you possibly can get. Like the storyline with Camp Cowabunga, where they are camp counselors, and so they get to both wear shorty short shorts. Which is
because it's the 80s. Those shorty short shorts were period appropriate.
Yes, yes. That, but it's also, you know, an excuse to get them in some banana smugglers. And the fact that one of the campers, so that kind of the main story of that arc is that one of the, but it doesn't come up until way later in the arc, is that one of the campers is, or there are fairies among them. And there's one, at least one fairy that is still secluded, still hidden, and they have to try and find out who that is before, you know, something bad happens. They are fae, and there's I think the girl, Liliana, I think, who they find is a fairy. Do I have any of this right?
No, no, you're exactly right.
Okay, you're laughing in a way that says, like, oh man, I can't wait to tell him how wrong he is.
No, no, no. It's I thought of a joke that I'm not going to make. I shouldn't have laughed. We're editing
okay,
this whole
thing. Good. Yes. You keep that to yourself. Please make us both laugh. So Liliana is one of the campers, and she is found to be a fairy, and she has set up a portal. And so Adam knows, you know, what he's a vampire. Steve's a werewolf. So, okay. Fairies exist, obviously. Why wouldn't they? So what is the plot here? Like what do we need to resolve? Cause by and large, it's just them hanging out at a camp and being camp counselors. Like they don't, they climb a tree and kind of have a nice moment together at one point. And that's like at that time in the comic, I thought that was like the point of this arc, was that they could climb this tall tree together and have a moment together. And then they're just going to like time jump again. But no, there is something that actually happens. But that's just, it's just thrown away. Like it's like, okay, we have to find the fairy. Okay. Almost immediately they find who the fairy is. It's the chef. Spoilers. And they, as you put in your notes, they resolve that. She says a debt must be repaid. And until it is, the humans will you know, suffer, or they will be made to suffer. And they're like, okay, well, what can we do to repay that debt? Dance party! Pew, 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 pew. Well done. The debt is repaid. Good job. It's the easiest quest to resolve. Just like I don't know. I guess I mean, we're two gay dudes. What do we do with the campers? A dance party? Sure, that will work.
And this kind of gets into a problem I do have with the comic is the pacing. I feel like so much time was spent building up, not even the conflict, but like just having the characters do back and forth. But because that's easy to draw, and you have to get a lot of panels out for webtoons, and the intro to the chapter really bulged, and then we had to wrap up quickly to meet a certain page per chapter goal or something. And so like the resolution was just rushed.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, the pirate story feels kind of similar, you know. Yep. It's they're lying their way to treasure. Like I think Steve's the one lying in that case that says, I see such and such on this island. And yes, there's an X that marks the spot. And somehow the pirates keep finding everything that he suggests. And you know, Adam is like, wait, are you actually psychic? Okay, are you actually doing this? He's like, I don't know. We'll just go with it. We haven't died yet. So, you know, cause at one point they're walking the plank, they're going to kill him, and they just keep lying. And okay, well, there's only four of us pirates on this giant ship. So I guess we have to go with you. Cause obviously we've made some bad decisions somewhere else. And yeah, that just ends with the pirates being cursed. But then like, so they have to like live on that island for like, what 300 years or something.
Yup.
So it's like, it is, like you said, Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's literally Pirates of the Caribbean.
They're cursed by the gold, but they're also like cool with that. It's like, hey, we're cool with that. We're all, you know, bros. I think you said, and they had a threesome for the next three centuries.
A piratey threesome.
Yeah, a pirate thruple.
A
curses be, to those who may come across this island. Whoa, what is going on here? Is this a curse? This doesn't seem like a curse. They seem pretty cool with it.
It's the happiest cursed people I've ever met.
Yeah, they're pretty thrilled. That's fine. So yeah, it is what it is. It's a relationship thing. It's about getting these characters together, and they eventually will, and there will be a conflict. And I'm curious about that conflict. Like, what happens when whatever Adam is seeing every time, you know, he gets close to Steve, like actually starts to like let him in, you know, he sees those flashbacks or whatever it is to terrible things that are going to happen. And he keeps mentioning, you know, oh, if I told him the truth, then he would hate me. And I don't want that. So there is an interesting conflict being, I think, built there. And I am curious to see that pay off. But the kind of monster of the week structure of it, the CW-ness of it all, it's not necessarily my bag. So yeah, I may pass on the comic in that regard, but it is pretty well done. It's a fun webtoon, well drawn. It's got all the pieces there. It's just whether or not that is your thing. Like you like that kind of story, then yeah, your mileage may vary.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where webtoons has kind of evolved into. Like, webtoons used to have a lot more, at least this is the impression that I have, and I could be totally wrong, but the impression I have is that webtoons used to have stuff like, the Katie Rice comic.
Perfect. Katie Rice was never on webtoons, I don't think, but what Camp We Don't Want You?
Is that Katie Rice? Who is the... Katie Cook, sorry.
Ah, yes.
I crossed my Katies. Yes. Katie Cook's one about
don't
the
do
girl.
That. The universe ends if you cross the Katies. Don't do that. Crossing the Katies would be bad.
I crossed a Katie in fifth grade, and I've never been the same since. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, like, Katie Cook had a wonderful comic on there. It might still be around. There were other ones. When we first started getting into webtoons, it was a great place to find comics that were more general. It feels like it's just nicheified, and everything that we read on webtoons now is very this one thing. And I don't know if it's because of the business model. I don't know if it's the way that they kind of push their creators. I don't know what it is. I think personal theory, it's because they force people to put out so much so quickly that you don't have time for anything else. You have to fall back on certain tropes, and that kind of leads to this sort of storytelling. And what that leads to is a very dedicated fan base finding their comic, finding the thing that speaks very specifically to them, and just following that forever. And that's fine. That's a model. And this is just another example of that. It's not my jam, but I know it's a lot of people's jam. And I'm not going to get jelly about other people getting their jam.
He has been working on that for a while, folks. I'm glad it finally came out, so we can... move on. I am definitely in the same camp of most of the stuff on webtoons, and even Tapas to some degree is leaning towards romance, but also fantasy, or romance, but also a little sci-fi, and, or just romance, but more romance. That also is a genre. It seems like it's largely not my thing, and it is leaning more that way. So it is harder to find things that are of a different sort, but I mean, that's why it's great that the web is still open and you can still get stuff like Evan Dom, you know, starting up a new website for Third Voice, I believe is the name of it. I still haven't checked that out. I need to read that. We may actually read that on an upcoming episode because I think he's got a pretty healthy start on the comics so far. But he even posts his stuff on webtoons just because you get more eyes and you also get maybe a new audience who, you know, it's not a bad thing to have thousands of people discover your comic for the first time and say, like, you know what? I really like this. Like, can I read more of it? Oh, absolutely. There's so much more out there. Have I told you that I've written like 1500 pages of comics in the last 10 years? Please go read them all. Buy a printed edition if you'd like. Give it to a friend. Yeah. It's I think it still seems really healthy out there in terms of what, where to read things and what you can read. It's just knowing how to get it. And, you know, some people are more versed in that, like we have been for many, many years, and some people need a little help, and we're here to help with that. So this is, again, a comic that I really enjoy parts of, and I other ones are not my thing, and I think you're really going to like at least some aspect of Time and Time Again if you check it out. And so I hope that you do, and maybe you'll discover a comic that you love and you can't let go.
Yeah. You're right.
That was an illusion. That was an allusion to the love of Adam and Steve.
Yeah. They're going to be on top of that pine tree forever. And good for them.
That has to be a euphemism, but I don't know where it's going. So, yeah. Climb that pine tree and never come down. Until the full moon when you fall through a hole. Go to who knows where. And who knows when. So, check it out. Time and Time Again. That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I werewolfily, not vampirely, I'm the werewolf, am at Ida Hobo.
Just so much hair. You wouldn't think on a web platform you could find the hair, but no, Steve has so much. It's there. Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email, and that email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And we give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole. That's W-H-O-L-E. You can find Hole, along with many other great copyright-free songs, on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. And if you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys, that's Jason and Steve, not Adam and Steve, who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons, including far too much hair, to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find Then You Ruined It on pretty much any podcast platform you use, along with Digital Strips. If those platforms allow for reviews, we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. And you can also find little shorts of Then You Ruined It on platforms like TikTok and YouTube Shorts. So check those out. Those are fun little blurbs, a way to pick up that podcast and, you know, get it in your ear holes and let it rattle around a bit and say like, oh, I'd like more of that. We've got more. That's one thing. We've always got more. Like webcomics, we've always got more. We can't stop this. I can't quit him. I'd like to, but I can't.
He tried.
Several times. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I will always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel, where it's a full moon. So we're going... I guess I came up with that sound effect on the spot, but I think it's funnier that it just, like, at the full moon, they're sitting wherever, and then it just...
Yeah, it's more of a... And then just...
It's the one part of the comic that I think has like a nice little element of slapstick to it. But they just fall in this hole and they're always surprised by it. So it's like, well, full moon, you know what that means? Ah!
Here we go again! The end. Break away, forget your sobriquet, stop trying.